Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Kings, the Lord of Lords, we love you, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was, the one who is, and is to come. God, we acknowledge there's none like you, there's none before you. You reign supreme in all the earth, in all the universe. We bless your name today, God, from the every fiber of our being. But you are God, the Father Almighty, the creator of the heavens and earth. And in you we put our hope, and in you we put our trust. In Jesus' name. If you love him, say amen. Amen. Well, you guys can take your seats if you haven't already. Thank you, musicians and singers. Aren't you thankful for the awesome worship team? That was wonderful. Well, it is great to be here, guys. And if you don't know me, my name is Joel Ramsey. I am the third-born child of pastors Mark and Lee Ramsey, but somehow made my way into their favorite category, so that's good. And you're not supposed to have favorites, but apparently they do. So, and it's super cool to be here. My wife, Savannah, and I, and my two children, Avila and Jack, we will be moving to the United States of America later this year to lead our City Point Nashville church there. And that's going to be super exciting. If you guys want, you can turn me down in here. That might help a little bit there. And maybe just down a little bit in these monitors if you can. Otherwise, I'm going to blow my own head off. And so we're excited to move to Nashville, one of our 10 locations around the world. And we intend on being the fastest growing location. Again, it's not a competition, but if it was going to be one, we're going to win. So we're really excited to get there and be a part of the continually growing family that is City Point Church. And you know, it's super exciting to know we're a part of a church that's moving forward. But I say that because I also want to acknowledge that it's super exciting that we're a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are one expression of a local church that is the body of Christ globally. We are so blessed and privileged to be a part of the people of God, God's chosen people, God's anointed people. Can I tell you, it is so exciting to be standing in this building. Aren't you thankful for your new temple to the Lord? We're lucky we live in the new covenant of grace where God doesn't live in buildings, he lives in human hearts. However, it is super exciting to have an awesome place where we can gather all those human hearts to continually glorify the name of Jesus. And this place is absolutely unreal. I know that over this last season as a church, the generosity pouring out of this house has been unbelievable. And it's exciting because, you know, I'm not going to talk about money today, but I do want to just start here. Did you know God doesn't need your money? Okay, God's the creator of the heavens and earth. He's the one that breathed and life was formed in humanity. He painted the sky with the stars. I mean, God doesn't need your money, but he is looking for your heart. And the Bible tells us that where your money is, there your heart will be also. And so God knows that we live on a currency of finances in this economic world. And he knows that people put value on money. He knows that we work for money. And he knows that if your money is going somewhere, it's because your heart believes in where it's going. Whether that's believing that you like the clothes that you're buying, the car that you're buying, the house you're investing in. If you like making money, you invest money. He knows that what you desire is where you put your money. And so God doesn't need your money, but he's desiring your heart. The church as an organization, as a body, does need your money. And that's why we ask you to continually give and sow into kingdom purposes. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, the most simple way to be a Christian is by trusting and obeying. We trust in his promises and we obey his commands. We trust in what Jesus has asked us to do, and so we obey what he asked us to do. We trust that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that there's only one way to God the Father, and that's through Jesus. We trust his eternal promise, and because we put our eternal trust in his eternal promise, then we obey his commands here on earth. You know, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, yet not do what I say? Why do you say that I'm your Lord, but you don't listen to what..." It doesn't make sense. In James, he says, don't just be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Otherwise, you delude yourself. You profess to trust Christ with your eternal salvation, yet do we trust him with our day-to-day income and finances? And again, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because the testimonies I'm hearing of this church and your generosity is absolutely unreal. And because of it, I want to tell you, there is a greater days coming ahead. This place is a house of worship built that people would fill it. I mean, look at this place. This place in itself glorifies the name of Jesus. You know, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, you would have heard it a lot over the last month in the giving scripture. It speaks of it. I just want to read it to you. It says this. It says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." There's blessing attached to your giving in the kingdom of God. Verse 7 says, "Each of you should give as you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Verse 8, this is what it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." We've come through last week, our big day of giving. Some of you are going to continue to do that giving as the month goes on, which is our giving above our regular giving. I know you've sown money and effort into this building over the last however many months. And because of your generosity, the Bible says those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, but those who sow generously will reap generously. And so there's going to be a reaping of generosity that comes upon those who have sown into this house. We're going to see a generational return that you might not see with your eyes today, but you're sowing into the generations. This is a generational building. This building's not going to disappear. This building's going to be a vessel, a tool used by God's glory throughout the generations. But it says in verse 8, it says that God is able to bless you abundantly so that you may be able to have all that you need at all times so that you will abound in every good work. Our money is a tool that God wants to get from us so he can give it back to us so we can use it for his glory. That you will abound in every good work. Can I tell you, this is the beginning of a great abundance of good works that this church in this region is going to accomplish. Your generosity is sowing into this house. It's sowing in beyond this house. You saw the video from my dad speaking about all the things that we're doing. You know, in that video, we are a church that's genuinely influencing our world for good and for God. We are one part here of a global movement of local churches that is making a historical impact in the earth. And the good work that we are called to is the good work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not a charity program. We are not a hospital. We are not a government gathering center. We are not a country club. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the hope of the world because my Bible tells me in Colossians that it's Christ in me, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our world needs hope. I don't know if you've noticed that lately. Hope is the expectation of good. People don't hope for what they have. We carry a hope. The world, whether they realize it or not, are looking for an answer, and his name is Jesus, and we have our good work is the good gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached from generation to generation, from family to family, to workplace to workplace. This is a house, is a city on a hill, a light for all to see. And what we've sown into this house is sowing into the generations that the good gospel of Jesus Christ would be preached in all the earth. Come on, if you believe it today. We are the hope of the world. Like, we're not the hope of the world, but we are the carriers of that great hope, whose name is Jesus. And today I want to speak to us very quickly around the responsibilities of the church. Or I could call it the responsibility of the last days church. Because I believe we're in the last days. Now, for all the doomsday preppers, you're getting excited. You guys know what a doomsday prepper is? The guys like building their basements down, you know, under the ground, getting the food, getting everything ready, preparing for zombies specifically. And any doomsday preppers in here? Just Graham? Anybody else? Look, I don't really have a problem with doomsday prepping, but I'm not sure Jesus would do it. I wonder when I look at the life of Jesus, whether he'd be in the basement hunkering down, filling up his own little basement for himself, or whether he'd be out there preaching the gospel, helping people who need, giving away. You tell me. I don't need to go on there. But you know, I'll tell you this, because we serve a God of promise, and he's a promise fulfiller. And we know in the book of Acts chapter 1, let's read from Acts chapter 1, verse 7. It's Jesus saying to his disciples, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus is saying to his disciples, wait here, because I'm promising the gift of the Holy Spirit is coming. He says, and when you get that gift, you will receive power, which is miraculous power. He speaks of an explosive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be a witness. So Jesus is promising the coming of the Holy Spirit. Then we know in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all there together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit, and he's a promise keeper. The fulfillment of that promise was on the day of Pentecost, which really just means 50th. Pentecost just means 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 50 days later is when he says, and it came to pass on that day that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his people. It says, all those in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. The promise of the coming, the faithfulness of God to fulfill his promise. It's a good reminder that God's faithful to fulfill the promises of his word and the things that he's spoken over your life. But what's amazing here is this. The Holy Spirit is wonderful, right? He's not just like the sidekick of God the Father and Jesus. Okay, we believe in the Trinity, that they're three distinct personalities, but one God. Okay, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, comes upon you for a purpose. And that purpose is not that you would just speak in tongues, although we love the idea of speaking in tongues. The purpose of the Holy Spirit coming is not that you would just have an awesome, tingly feeling in awesome worship meetings, although we love when the presence of God is so tangible. The Holy Spirit, the Bible, Jesus says, when he comes upon you, he will come upon you for a purpose. And that purpose is to be a witness of Jesus. The ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit coming upon his people is that we would become a people who live life on purpose, for a purpose, and that purpose is to be a witness of the reality of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. That's why we are endued with miraculous power and all the gifts of the Spirit. They exist for a purpose so that we would be a witness of the hope of the world, whose name is Jesus. Amen. The reason I believe we're in the last days is because as this happened, Peter got up and he began to tell everybody what was happening. And it's the famous passage of scripture where he begins to quote what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And he says, these people are not drunk as you suppose. He said, but what's happening is that the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel says, and he says this, the prophet Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Which tells me, if what was being fulfilled by the prophet Joel was being fulfilled that day, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if they were the last days, then we are definitely in the last days. So for the doomsday preppers, how exciting. The bad part is this. The Bible tells me in Peter that one day to the Lord is like 1,000 and 1,000 to the Lord. And he says, God's not slow like some think. So unfortunately, we're about 2 days into those last days. A little bit disappointing. You're going to be bunkering up for a while there. But I want to show you something. You see, we are blessed to be a blessing. You know, that statement comes because we say that we will receive a blessing. Those who sow generously will reap generously. And that God is able to bless us abundantly so that we would be equipped for every good work. Our job on earth is not to build piles of money. It's to build piles of bodies in heaven. We use money as a tool. And this is where Peter comes and he says, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit then that lives in us now. And it's the same purpose. And our purpose is to be a witness of Jesus to the entire globe. It's not to be some self-righteous group of people, holiest art thou. It's that we would live a life and live a reality that represents Jesus Christ as the hope of the world. And something happened with Peter and the apostles that day as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I want to go through a few thoughts here that I believe are the responsibilities of us, the Church of Jesus Christ. The reason that we build buildings, the reasons that we sow finances, the reason we do small groups, the reason we do mission work, the reason we rescue young girls is to represent Jesus. And we have a responsibility as people who are endued with the Holy Spirit and power to continue to be a witness. As we have, like we've seen for the past 21 years of City Point Church, and as we will continue to be as we step into our future. Amen. The first thing that I see is this, is that they preached the gospel. It is our number one calling as believers. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit along with the other apostles. They came rolling out of the room, not drunk as you suppose. And Peter gets up and he begins to say, this is not what you think. It's only the morning. He's like, they'll probably be drunk later, but not right now. It's still only like 9 a.m. And he says, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And he begins to talk about the prophecy. But then he goes on and it says that Peter began to preach the gospel. Can I tell you, we are living in a day, in a culture, in a society that is not as thrilled with the name of Jesus as it used to be. It's becoming a bit more of an offensive word. Maybe not just Jesus as the painted picture on the wall, but Jesus as the life lived according to Scripture is becoming a stumbling block for many. But that doesn't change our assignment that we are called to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. The problem with good news is it's accompanied by a thing called bad news. The reason we desire joy is because we know what it's like to live in chaos. The reason we desire peace is because we know what it's like to live in fear. The reason there's a good news that's found in Jesus is because without Jesus, there's some seriously bad news that people are afraid to discuss. People are afraid to talk about it because we think we're going to paint Jesus in the wrong light. Can I tell you something that Jesus taught me a few years back? He said to me, Joel, you are not my defender. I am yours. I remember I was watching some gay pride thing happening over in Argentina, and there was these lesbian couples naked up on crosses, mocking our Lord and Savior, trampling, like making an, they were naked and they were kissing on these crosses, celebrating their debauchery, basically. The very mocking our Lord. And I remember this righteous indignation was rising up in me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so angry. Because you know, you're like, I've given my life for Jesus. I live that people might meet him. And there's this thing going on. I remember feeling so frustrated. And I remember so clearly Jesus speaking in my heart saying, Joel, I'm your defender. You're not my defender. It was such a reminder that the truth of Jesus doesn't need to be defended. Charles Spurgeon said, the gospel's like a lion. You just need to let him out the cage. Stop trying to hide people from the truth. That, do you know, the greatest, the object of the love of God is sinful people, is broken people, is those women up on those crosses mocking him. That's the object of his depths of his love. It was me and my mess before I met Christ. It was you before you knew Christ. The God sent Jesus because humanity was sinful. Now, different sins have different implications here on earth, but those who are sinful and separate from God are destined for destruction. Each one of us, doesn't matter what community, doesn't matter what march you're a part of, doesn't matter what job you work, without Christ, the truth is the Bible tells us in John 3:17 that those who don't know Jesus are condemned. You see, the gospel is that our God in heaven was not an angry God in heaven who sent Jesus to send people to hell. The gospel is that a loving God in heaven saw a broken humanity and sent Jesus to give people a way out of hell. It says those who do not believe in him are condemned already because they have not believed. Humanity separate from Jesus is already on their way to destruction. Our job's not to go out and tell the world that they're on their way to destruction. Our job's to go out and tell the world there's destruction at the end of this, but there's an answer. His name is Jesus. Peter preached the gospel, and they said, he began telling them what they had just done. He said, you crucified Christ. That's an offensive message. When someone's been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he comes out, and there's a group of people, and he says, the reason the Lord and Savior of the world was crucified is because of you. It says it cut them to the heart. But there was a response as it cut them to the heart. Because when you speak under the anointing of God, when you tell the truth under the love of God, it will cut people to the heart and it will lead them to a point of decision making. And they said, what must we do? And he said, it's simple. You need to repent. Be baptized. And be saved. Repent is not a dirty word. Repent is a beautiful word. Metanoia, change the way that you think. Turn from going this way and come this way. He said, repent as these people were cut to the heart. Part of our responsibility is telling the world about Jesus, the Savior of the world. Some people won't receive him, but many will. We're not responsible for the ones who reject the name of Jesus. Our commissioning, our anointing is to go into all the world and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Let them who have ears to hear, let them hear. To some, the name of Jesus will be a fragrance, an aroma that is beautiful. To some, it'll be an aroma of death, the Bible tells us. It's not always nice to think of it like that, but our love for humanity must compel us to tell people that there's a way, there's a hope, there's a truth, and his name is Jesus. If we don't understand where our lost neighbors are going, then the urgency of the truth won't resonate within us. They are on their way to hell, and that's not what God desires. He desires that not one would perish and that all would be saved. That's why he sent Jesus. Everything we do as a church revolves around people meeting Jesus. Amen? They preach the gospel. The next second thing I noticed about our responsibility as the church is that the church is called to grow. It says, as Peter preached the gospel, that day many were cut to the heart. They said, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, that day, 3,000 people were added to the church. It goes on throughout the scriptures and in the Acts, talking about how they did signs and wonders among the people, and the church continued to grow daily. We are called to not just be a church that gets hands in the air. We are called to be a church that makes disciples. Discipleship is simple. It's a life transaction. You teaching somebody what God has taught you. If you don't know how to teach someone something, I'll give you a real good tip. You need to go and learn something. The best way to teach someone something is to learn something. Then you can teach them. It might come to a point where they're a better learner than you are, and so they start teaching you things. Who cares? Can I tell you, it's not about position. It's not about title. It's about a spirit-filled people who preach the gospel and believe that the church is called to grow. We don't just want money into this house so we can hoard it. We need money as the people of God so we can expand. This year, we're putting a church, another church in New Zealand. That's 11. Can I tell you, when I get to Nashville, I intend on us being a church that plants churches all around the United States of America. We are called to grow. We are called to expand. It's not about numbers for our sake. It's about numbers for the world's sake. We're called to grow. That's part of what we're called to do. This building is called to be very, very full. That you'll have to have another service, which will require more people to come in and serve and be involved and make more disciples and have more small groups so that there's another service. Our job is to stress Pastor Graham and Mel out so much that they've got no time left for their own personal life, because there is that many people coming into the house of God. And can I tell you, there's a grace for that when God is moving. This is just the beginning of what this church is called to do. This, what we've built, is a house to fill with all kinds of different people. Amen. But part of that, there's a cost. You see, it's free to come and see Jesus. But to follow Jesus will cost you everything. We believe that anybody and everybody from any background and any good things they've done, any bad things, everybody is welcome. Come as you are. But the gospel doesn't stop as come as you are. It says, come as you are, we'll show you Jesus. And if you receive him, your life will be transformed for eternity. You might think, you might be sitting here saying, I like my life how it is. Without Jesus, friend, it's a dead end. You might be a nice person. You might have a great family. But I pray to God that you would surrender your life to Jesus and he will transform your heart. Because we believe that the church is supposed to grow, amen. The third thing is this, maybe the worship team can come. It says that the power of God was manifested. It says that they went around doing signs and wonders among the people. This is a house of God that believes in miracles. This is a house of God that believes in signs and wonders. This building is a miracle. This has got to be the most significant building in the whole region that we're in. And as it continues to be built upon and expanded, this place is a miracle. But beyond the miracle of this place, can I tell you, we're called to see the sick healed. People's bodies get healed in this church. We have testimonies coming in all the time of people being physically healed from ailments, from all sorts of different things. Our church in general is a church that believes in the power of God to heal the sick. People's bodies, in their blood, in their backs, in their noses, in their ankles. To restore people's minds. Anxiety, depression, mental illness, mental health of any kind. We believe that our God is greater than what you're going through. And we will continue to believe because we know that Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. And we are called by the Holy Spirit to live a life on purpose, to be a witness of who Jesus is. And part of that witness is us demonstrating what his kingdom looks like here on earth, that people might understand it coming into his kingdom for eternity. Signs and wonders were manifest. The fourth thing is that they gave generously. I know that this church over the last months has been insanely generous, that you guys have sacrificially given into this house, into the future of this house. But can I tell you, it doesn't stop last weekend. We continue to be a generous people so we can continue to expand the kingdom of God here on earth. It says there in the book of Acts that they were hanging out with the apostles and the great reverence and awe came upon all the people as signs and wonders were done. And it says, and they all sold everything they have and they put it in a big pile to make sure the people in their community went without nothing. This is what we do as a church. We gather. We just heard. We're like wealthy. We should have our own TV show, Crazy Rich Christians. We're like majority of us, at least in the top 5%. I didn't know that. I feel really rich. But we're called to continue to be generous. It says that they gave, they continued to give because they saw something beyond their own life. No greater love has a man than to lay down his life for a friend. In the book of Revelations, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they loved not their own lives. We died with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live, I live by faith in the one who gave himself for me. We are called to live a life to reach the world, to make disciples, amen? To continue to sacrificially give. And then it goes on as they went around doing signs and wonders, persecution came. Now I'm careful here because I don't want to instill fear in anybody, but as I said before, I'll say it again, we got to be careful because we need to realize that the name of Jesus and kingdom belief systems are being pushed back against in a violent way. It's happening all over the place. It says even with the apostles that they went and they healed a sick man at the man gate beautiful. He was there and he reached up and said, I need help. I need money. And Peter looked down and said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And it says that the man was healed. You know, have you ever heard the statement, someone comes around and says, Joel, you know, what you said is good, but I just didn't like how you said it. It's the kind of thing that's said to me from other Christians. What you said was right, but I just didn't like how you said it. You know, some people are called to go put their head out on the chopping block so you don't have to. You know, some people are called to go and break territory and aggressively take territory back for the kingdom of God. Because this is what happened, you know. In the Bible, it says that they went and healed a man and the religious leaders came and arrested them and persecuted them. And this is what they said. They can't deny what happened. We just don't like how you did it and in whose name you did it in. They said they can't deny that the lame man was walking. That, what are you going to do? But they forbade them, the Bible says, to speak or do anything in the name of Jesus. It wasn't what they did, it was how they did it. It's a religious mindset that's afraid of loving the world because they want to impress the world. You know, the Achilles heel of modern day Christian is our insatiable desire to be loved and accepted by the world. If you are in this room and you don't follow Jesus, my desire is not to be loved or accepted by you. My desire is that I would lay down my life and love you enough to tell you the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not a personal preference. It's an inspired conviction of the Holy Spirit that I want the best for your life. And that should be our desire as all believers, to lay down our lives so that the world might meet him, even if it looks like being persecuted a little bit. I mean, ultimately, our persecution in Australia is going to be, hey, don't say that. Hey, that's bigotry. It might get worse, but right now, we have a responsibility to preach the gospel, make disciples, demonstrate the kingdom. Not everybody is going to like it. It doesn't make it not true. It says that they went on and they were forbade to speak in the name of Jesus. It says they got together. No, before that, sorry, they said to the people who forbid them, they said, you decide whether it's right between for you or for God, but we can't help speak what we've seen and what we've heard. says they went away and they prayed. In fact, I'll read you what they prayed. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. We are called as the last day's church to endure, to stand. And having done all else, stand. We don't shrink back. We don't shy away. We keep on loving like Jesus loved. And Jesus loved the world by dying on the cross, saying, "My life is worth giving up that you might receive eternal life." Jesus gave his life so that mankind could be saved. We are called to give our life so that this region can be saved. I am called to lay down my life, my ambitions, my desires, so that the region that I'm moving to can be saved. And let those who have ears to hear, let them hear. But the ones who don't, I love them, but I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on running. I'm going to keep make disciples. I'm going to keep on giving, because my life is not my own. I live for a greater cause than what's in front of me. I don't live day to day. I live for Christ alone. Because he is the hope of the world. The world is caving in all around us. The securities of humanity are being trampled. The trust of government and all media and all sorts of things is being shaken, because Jesus is the only true foundation. The word of God is the word of life, because we are called to live our lives according to his word. Friends, Jesus is the way. Maybe you're sitting here. I just sense in my spirit there are people that have been doubting the reality of Jesus. Friend, that's a lying, demonic spirit trying to deceive you out of your destiny. Forget about it. There are people in here and you've been living for titles. You're waiting to do the work of God because you have titles. You need a position. You're called. And you know what doesn't credential you for ministry is a title. It's the Holy Spirit in your workplace, in your family, in your university, in your school, wherever it is. The Spirit of God is your validation as a son and daughter of the living God. And you are filled with miraculous power for a purpose. And that purpose is to be a witness of the hope of the world, whose name is Jesus. You will be blessed abundantly in every area, so you will be able to continue in every good work. Your sacrificial giving, your life lived, it's not gone to waste, friends. You are making an impact far beyond what your natural eyes are able to see. We have taken territory in this building. We are taking territory in this region. And we are connected to a movement that's taking territory all around the world, so that we could see people meet Jesus and be discipled into his family, into his kingdom, so that we continue to advance God's kingdom in all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Could everyone just close your eyes just for 10, 15 seconds? If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, friend, he's the answer. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And no one comes to God the Father but through Jesus. Jesus died for your sin. He didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that those who receive him could be raised to life with him. He's now seated at the right hand of God the Father, the Bible tells us. From there, he will judge the living and the dead. There will be a day, one day, where Jesus judges the living and the dead. And if you've lived your life for Christ, he will welcome you into the family of God for eternity. If you have rejected his name, unfortunately, he will push you aside to eternal darkness. But friend, God desires that not one would perish, but that all would be saved. If you're in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand up high and say yes to Jesus. If you're in this room and you've followed Jesus, but you know you've walked away from him, the life you're living now is not the life you know you're supposed to live, then friend, if that's you on the count of three, I want you to come back to Jesus. He's not angry. He's not mad. He's waiting with arms wide open saying, son, daughter, come to me and I will give you rest. And if you're in here today and you say, Joel, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, let's get sure today. I want you also to raise your hand up and say, yes, I want to be sure that I'm following Jesus. So if you're one of those three people on the count of three, raise your hand up high and say yes to Jesus. One, two, three. Just raise it up high. Great decision, sir. Well done. Who else is there? Is there anybody else today? Real quickly, anybody else? Anybody else? Just raise your hand up high. Raise it up high. Five more seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just real quickly, just stand to your feet and just raise your hands towards heaven. The presence of God is all over this place. We're about to...